Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Trump announced today that there is a deal to reopen the federal government until next month. And until then, you can bet this country will keep talking about walls.
A wall has to be built.
A wall is an immorality between countries.
You have to have a wall. You have to have technology.
They are so opposed to building a wall.
The wall has become a metaphor for border security.
The only reason the government is shut down is because of the wall, correct?
I was down along the U.S.-Mexico border earlier this week as the shutdown was dragging on. And as I found, the wall is more than something to debate. It's a reality.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
You're in Mexico. I'm in the U.S. What's your name?
Jesus.
Jesus is a fourth grader standing on one side of the steel mesh border fence in Nogales, Mexico. I'm standing inches away on the other side in Nogales, Arizona. His mother, Stephanie Camacho, is next to me. She makes this trip to the fence every weekend to visit family.
It's my sister, my son, my sister's husband.
They don't have permission to come over?
No, just my kids.
So that's got to be hard for you to be living on both sides of the border like this.
It's so hard.
Camacho cannot cross this fence. She says she has legal problems here in the U.S. that make it difficult to go back and forth. She won't say much more about that, but she did tell me that President Trump's proposed $6 billion, 200-mile-long wall won't work.
I don't know. It's just going to make a wall. They have more problems, I don't know, person jumping the wall, and I think it's a bad idea.
People can get over the wall.
Yeah.
I came to this spot along the border to see how the 35-day partial government shutdown is affecting life here at Ground Zero.
It's a hard issue. There's no easy answer.
Leslie Kramer lives in the nearby town of Sonoyta, Arizona. She spent the day in Mexico having lunch with visitors from Wisconsin, and she just crossed back into the U.S., stray dogs barking behind her, when I asked what she thinks of the shutdown.
And I think the most frustrating problem for me is nobody really wants to solve it. They just want to stake out their positions and have a standoff, and that doesn't help anybody.
Do you think any one group in Washington deserves blame, whether it's the president or Congress and the Democrats?
No, I think they equally share in the problem.
Like any border town, Nogales depends on the free movement of people like Leslie Kramer and the movement of goods. So there's this large freight train rolling south across the border right now. This is coming from the United States, bringing what, parts or goods into Mexico?
It's bringing components for any number of maquila manufacturing in Mexico.
This is Bruce Bracker, a Santa Cruz County Commissioner.
What kind of manufacturing?
Ford has a large plant down in Hermosillo, so this could be stuff that was produced in the Midwest that's going down, components that are going to be parts of the cars that are finally produced.
So the government may be shut down, but at least that train is crossing the border. Commerce, to some extent, is happening here.
There's two trains that go southbound each day, and there's a couple trains that come northbound each day.
That's good news for Nogales, but it's too late for Bruce Bracker's family business. Bracker used to run a department store on Morley Avenue. It's a little block of low-cost shops where we're standing now.
In the 70s, this was literally the most expensive real estate in the state of Arizona. The rents here were higher than the rents in Scottsdale. And that was because all the Mexican nationals that were coming over here and shopping.
But Bracker gave up on the business a few years ago. He says customs restrictions after 9/11 slowly choked off the flow of customers.
I mean, you had in 2007, you had 7.5 million people walking across the border into downtown Nogales every year.
What was that like?
That was, if you were a business person, it was phenomenal.
Business was good for you and your family.
It was very good for our family.
You made a reference to Scottsdale, which is a fancy, glitzy suburb of Phoenix. No offense to Morley Avenue now, it doesn't look like that at all.
Not even close. No, it's these are the hard times on Morley Avenue right now.
The government shutdown doesn't make things any easier. The Nogales Border Patrol Station is the second largest in the U.S. Agents and customs officers are working, but they're not getting paid. I drove about a mile up the road from the fence to take a break at Antojitos Mexicanos, a little restaurant known for its traditional soup.
This was lucky, just finding you here eating lunch.
And I just happened to run into the mayor of Nogales, Democrat Arturo Garino.
What's on the menu?
This is albondigas. It's a meatball soup. It's great. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't do better unless you made it at home, actually.
You know what I was thinking? We're a long ways from Washington, sitting here in this restaurant.
Yes.
What's your opinion of what in the world is going on there?
Oh, Jesus Christ, it's unbelievable. I wish I knew.
Garino says it's time for politicians to figure out this mess and make a deal that will reopen the government. I asked him how the president's pitch was going over in Nogales. $5.7 billion for a wall in exchange for temporary protections for some immigrants.
We've had a border wall here for more than 20 years, all right? Maybe they should come to Nogales and look at the real border wall. You know, we've had one before anybody started talking about it. If you were to give $6 billion and you would tell Homeland Security, Customs and Border Protection, Border Patrol, all of them, and say, here, look, here's $6 billion. You use it the way you want to. I can almost bet that they would go by hiring more personnel. They would go by probably having more access roads to the border because the topography doesn't help, you know. And then probably at the very end, they will say, okay, we do need barriers, we do need walls, because there's a lot of areas that are, there's gaps.
On past trips to the border, I've met with supporters of Trump's wall who want to see those gaps closed. In 2016, a rancher here told me that drug smugglers cut through his property and tear down his fences. Just this week, Arizona Republican Senator Martha McSally made her own trip to a spot near Yuma, where 376 people breached the fence and presented themselves to border agents for asylum.
They basically just dug underneath. You see the light down there where they dug and they shimmied underneath and then started heading north, crossing illegally into the country. The Border Patrol can't see on the other side. This is one reason why replacement barriers are helpful, where the Ballard side.
If you listen to what people from both sides of the political spectrum are saying here in Arizona, you might notice nuance that you don't often hear in Washington. Many Republicans acknowledge it takes more than a wall to secure the border, and many Democrats agree that in some cases, a wall makes sense, including Bruce Bracker, the county supervisor I met on Morley Avenue.
Can we take a little walk to the fence? Because Nogales is a very interesting place. It's a really hilly place, right?
Sure.
I mean, so we're right near a foot crossing into Mexico. But if we walk, what is this, to the east just a little bit, we're going to see this steel slat fence.
So we call it the Ballard Fence. Gabby Giffords helped secure the funding for that. She worked with Congressman Grijalva.
Two Democrats, by the way.
Two Democrats. There was some extra funding available. And this replaced fence that was landing mat, that was literally, it was just a solid green barrier that was pretty porous and people could get over fairly easily.
On the top of this Ballard fence, there's some barbed wire. Is that new?
That's all new. That's what the military came in and did. So
when President Trump deployed the troops down to the border, this is something that they did?
This started happening on Election Day, that the military mobilized down here and they started welding onto the fence. This is probably a 14-foot fence, and it has a no-climb solid steel plate at the top of it. And it's Ballard, so the light, and you can see through what's going on, so it's really secure for Border Patrol.
So you think that's a good thing? That barbed wire is a good thing?
No, the Ballard fence was a good thing. The barbed wire is atrocious. Constantino wire always sends a bad message. We're the United States of America.
You've been living down here for your entire life, I imagine, for most of it anyways. You're a person who says this fence is a good idea.
In the cities, this fence is a good idea. So in a city, a Border Patrol has only a certain amount of time to apprehend somebody before they get lost in the crowd. When you start getting out into the country, unless you have someone to man it and someone to maintain it and access to it, then it's not going to do any good.
Does the United States need another 200 miles of fence that the president's trying to get?
I think that it's important that Border Patrol has had a plan to roll out these barriers, whether it's a Ballard fence, whether it's electronic. They've been getting control of the border. But to come in and say that we're going to invest in walls and ignore ports of entry. And I know that I read the president's announcement, and he's saying he's going to put $800,000 into ports of entry.
The number is actually $800 million.
Arizona alone needs $1.2 billion. Needs, CBP assessment of needs at ports of entry along the U.S.-Mexican border is $5 billion.
What does that mean to you? More technology, more agents, all of the above?
That's physical. That's actual physical reconfiguration of ports of entry. So Douglas has a port of entry that's probably 100 years old.
And Douglas is just to the east of here, a couple hours drive.
East of here, and Agua Prieta is their sister city, and they service some maquila industry, but they also service a very large copper mine in Cananea. And you have commercial vehicles going through a port of entry with passengers' vehicles and also pedestrians. And that port of entry is 100 years old.
And Bracker says that's the real infrastructure problem at the border.
Because if you look at a map of the United States and you look at the states and you look and see who the number one or who the number two trading partner for most of these states are, it's Mexico.
Whether Washington is listening is anyone's guess.